Good morning, and may it please the court. I'm Tim Foley. I represent the appellant Lincoln Benavides, who is appealing his sentence. I'd like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal, and I'll try to keep my eye on the clock. I'd like to focus on the first issue in the briefing, the question of whether Mr. Benavides was entitled to credit for the 6 years he had done in state custody prior to his federal sentencing for a state conviction which was part of the conduct which led to the indictment in federal court. This in turn turns, at least in part, upon an interpretation of the guideline provision 5G1.3b. And the real dispute between the parties is in the interpretation of the second trigger of 5G1.3b, which is the question of whether the state court conduct or the conduct underlying the state court conviction was used to calculate the federal guideline range. It's our contention that the amount of drugs seized in state court and the underlying activities that led to the state court conviction were required to be considered under the guidelines as relevant conduct, and because there was no total amount of drugs found and because there were no factual findings to support the exclusion of the state conduct, that it was in fact used as a basis for an increase in the offense level, and 5G1.3b should apply.
Counsel, as I've gone over the record, it doesn't seem to me that they used the state quantity in computing the quantity of drugs that he's responsible for under the federal.
Well, there was no finding of the total amount of drugs. The district court never made that finding. There's an implicit finding, I think, in deciding that level 36 was the base offense level. There's an implicit finding that Mr. Benavides was responsible for more than 5 kilograms. But that's the only finding made at the district court level.
Didn't need to use the state quantity to get there.
Well, first of all, there's no factual basis for concluding that the district court made. Second of all, that conclusion runs afoul of two things. It runs afoul of the requirement that all relevant conduct be taken into account. And it also runs afoul of the principle expressed by this court in United States versus Forrester and other cases, that where you have two ways of calculating a drug amount, two equally available ways of calculating the drug range and sentencing, that you have to choose the one that leads to the lesser punishment. And that's our argument, basically, that what the district court did is he ignored that principle. He could have used the state court drugs and the state court conduct to increase the basis. And because he could have, he should have, because that's required.
Let me ask you, I think Judge Okuda may have had a question.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. In the pre-sentence report, the probation officer listed in a series of paragraphs the amount of meth that apparently was attributable, that he found was attributable to your client.
Well, there's a subtle distinction.
And was there I didn't see any factual objection to the statements in the pre-sentence report.
There was no objection that was resolved by the district court.
So then why wasn't it proper for the district court, as you kind of suggested just a moment ago, that one could infer from what the district court did that he made a sufficient factual finding?
Well, first, I think it's important to remember this is a lengthy pre-sentence report, as I'm sure you're aware.
Yes, I read it.
42 pages plus another 17. And there's a distinction between the probation officer setting forth a statement by a criminal or a co-conspirator regarding the drug amounts.
No, but you can file a pre-sentence hearing objection to any statements in the pre-sentence report. And if you do that, then you force the district court to make explicit factual findings to resolve the factual dispute. And I didn't see that happened here.
That did not happen. What we did is we took issue with many statements in the pre-sentence report, and we argued, and this is at excerpts of record 225 to 227 is one example of that in the addendum to the pre-sentence report, where we said, look, these statements are unreliable, they're hearsay, they're based on reports that are unsigned, and we don't, and while we don't dispute the fact that those statements were made to officers, we dispute the underlying statements, the truth of the underlying statements. And the probation officer's report was, well, that's what they said, and I'm not going to make a finding of whether those statements are true or not. He says that on page 227 in the excerpts of record. So you're right, Judge Baez. We did not go before the district court and ask the district court to resolve those discrepancies. It's not our burden to do that. The district court never made any findings whether or not those statements were true. Now, he could have relied on the pre-sentence report to make findings.
So did you file a sentencing memorandum that said, Judge, we object to all of these findings?
No, we did not.
They're unreliable. They're based on flaky co-conspirator statements.
No, we didn't. And I think part of that is the fact that there was a guideline range agreed to. The guideline range was not disputed. And rather than having a week-long hearing on whether these witnesses were telling the truth or not and cross-examining them, the judge chose to do with something that he's allowed to do under Rule 32I, which is he chose not to resolve disputes that didn't matter. So basically, there was no finding of how many drugs where my client was responsible for in total. There was only the finding of a range, level 36, 5 to 15 kilograms.
Well, as Judge Fletcher suggested, if you go through the amounts, at least the probation officer listed, it seems to more than satisfy the base offense level. You can exclude the quantity that was used for the state prosecution.
You can, but that wasn't done, and I don't think this court should do that.
Does it make a difference? The government indicates in the pre-sentence report that at least for some of the entries, it states that the defendant admitted to quantities, which again, the government says are more than enough for the base offense level. Does it make a difference that that the probation officer reports the defendant admitted to these quantities?
The problem with reliance on those quantities is those admissions were made in the interview after he was arrested by the state agents. So it's our position that those quantities are part of the state conduct. That was an interview, two interviews over the course of 2 days that were done after the bust of the 3 pounds in state court, interviews done by state agents. Those admissions are, in fact, part of the conduct which underlied the state conviction and the state sentence. So I don't think you can take those out. I think those are part of the state conduct.
And you're talking about in these paragraphs, I guess it was what they point to is 38, 39, 40 in the PSR?
Yes. There was a statement made by my client in which he admitted many things. And let me make a couple of points. I see I'm running low on time. But the first thing I would say, one point I want to make is that as a matter of common sense, when you're computing drug amounts, you should start with the drugs actually seized. You should start with the drugs that can be weighed and verified and analyzed in a lab. And the only drugs seized in this case were the drugs seized by the state authorities as part of the state prosecution and the state conviction. It doesn't make sense to me to start with hypothetical drugs and try to exclude the real drugs when you're sentencing under a system that requires all relevant conduct to be included. Second thing is, I think this court, the case most close to this factually is the Eighth Circuit case, United States versus Morris. That's the analysis that I think this court should adopt. And thirdly, I don't think this court should get into the math. That's not this court's role. The district court did not resolve the amount of drugs, did not find...
Clarify, was there a request of the district judge to conduct an evidentiary hearing?
No. The parties agreed to the sentencing range. The parties agreed that it was a level 36 going in, and the judge did not resolve a dispute because there really wasn't one.
Okay.
Well, now, if we've got 36 to start out, you don't object to up to for firearms or up four for being a leader.
No, there were not objections to the sentencing guideline range.
So then down three for acceptance of responsibility.
That's correct.
You get to 41, it seems to me there should be no quarrel.
I see I'm running out of time.
Yes.
Thank you.
Hear from the government.
Good morning. May it please the court. I'd like to address a couple of the issues that were raised in the appellant's briefing and the discussion here this morning. First of all, the relevant state court conduct here, the government disputes that it would actually entail the amounts that Mr. Benavidi sold on February 17th, February 21st, the 0.75 pounds that were found in his car on March 6th, and his numerous admissions. If the court would look at the supplemental excerpts of record at 126 through 127, 109 and 122 through 125, it makes quite clear that the only conduct underlying his state offense was the March 5th sale and the 3 pounds attributed to him for that. And when you add up the February 17th, February 21st sales, the amount found in his car, and the admissions that he sold 5 to 7 pounds to Chad Cruz and another 5 to 10 pounds to someone named Nicole, at that point you're already at 11 pounds and 1/2 ounce, which is 5 kilograms of methamphetamine, without including the 3 pounds from the March 5th sale. In addition, he did admit prior to his arrest, or when he was arrested, that he had ordered 10 pounds of methamphetamine. In the reply brief, Mr. Benavidez suggests that shouldn't be attributed to him simply because he ordered it, but he did plead to distribution of methamphetamine and conspiracy to distribute methamphetamine. It's clear those 10 pounds were in furtherance of his conspiracy. Numerous other admissions by him as far as purchasing methamphetamine in 2-pound quantities from California and other quantities from Idaho. So for all of those admissions and the quantities found in him do not suffer from the reliability concerns raised in the reply brief.
Was the district court obligated to make a finding about the total amount of meth that he considered apart from the state quantity?
I do not believe that the district court had to actually come up with a number that it put into the record. There were no objections here. The Morris case that appellant cites, in that case, they didn't include the drug, they didn't include the conduct in the calculation at all. Here it's quite clear that conduct was included by the initial finding that it was relevant conduct. And so it was implicitly considered here. Beyond those quantities, all of the hearsay statements were actually appropriate for the district court to consider here. First of all, the rules of evidence don't apply at sentencing. Secondly, the appellant did not object to any of those statements. The district court adopted the PSR without change. And finally, and perhaps most importantly, Mr. Benavidez's own admissions and the quantities that were found upon him corroborate the hearsay statements. Furthermore, the hearsay statements cross-corroborate one another. He challenges Kathy Snyder's statement that he was responsible for providing her with at least 24 pounds of methamphetamine in his reply brief. But Chris Antonimp, in his statement, said that she had provided him a pound on behalf of Mr. Benavidez. And Mr. Benavidez's wife, Nedra Smith, had claimed that she had had methamphetamine, had received money on his part. Another witness, Mr. Bland, claimed that Ms. Snyder had sold a pound per week on behalf of Mr. Benavidez. So those hearsay statements were corroborated in the record.
Well, let me ask this. He's been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. At this time, apparently, it's non-symptomatic. Now, we all know it's a disease which has very uneven course with different people. And if it should become active for him and problematic, is there any way of resentencing at that time?
I believe the district court indicated that Mr. Benavidez could try and make some suggestion that his multiple sclerosis should be considered at that point, although the district court had considered his multiple sclerosis in the sentencing.
I understand that. This is actually seeking information as to what kind of accommodations can be made by resentencing or otherwise.
Well, for one thing, Mr. Benavidez quite clearly asked for a transfer to a medical facility. He actually asked for a non-medical facility to begin with here, which further indicates that he's not having problems with multiple sclerosis now. But if later on he was having problems with his multiple sclerosis, he could be asked to be transferred to a medical facility in the Bureau of Prisons to deal with that problem. I would also like to point out that the numerous health cases that Mr. Benavides cites, in all those except for one, the district court decision was actually affirmed by the appellate court, which goes to the large leeway that the district court has at sentencing. And in none of those cases was the defendant, in all of those cases, the health problems were only one factor among many that led to downward variances. But in none of those cases did the defendant receive a downward variance of more than 5 years. Mr. Benavides here was sentenced to 5 years below the bottom end of the guidelines sentence. Just because he requested 15 years below the bottom end of the guidelines sentence and received 5 years does not make his sentence unreasonable any more than the district court's denial of of the government's request that Mr. Benavides be sentenced at the bottom end of the guidelines makes his sentence unreasonable. I'd just like to remind the court, too, that the review standard here is reasonableness. We're not concerned with whether the district court, with the parsimony clause of Section 3553, whether that was properly applied or whether the or whether a downward variance or a downward departure was warranted under 5H1.4. We look to the under the totality of the circumstances before the district court, whether the overall sentence was reasonable here. We think for the reasons provided by the district court, Mr. Benavides' leadership role, the quantity of drugs involved that Mr. Benavides was bringing into Western Montana, the his use of children and his use of violence in furtherance of the conspiracy, as the district court judge pointed out, all of those factors differentiated him from his co-conspirators and therefore warranted a higher sentence. For those reasons, we would ask that the court here, first of all, hold that there was no abuse of discretion by the district court in determining that 5G1.3b did not apply to Mr. Benavides because there was plenty of drugs in the PSR that were attributable to him above and beyond the 3 pounds from the March 5th sale, and affirm his sentence as reasonable, his sentence of 300 months served concurrently going forward from the sentence with no credit for time served for a state offense as a reasonable one. Unless the court has any further questions, I'm happy to cede the remainder of my time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You had about a minute. Well, I'll give you a minute. You can have a minute.
Thank you, Your Honor. Whether or not the court could have relied on the hearsay statements in the PSR is not the issue. The court didn't. The court did not make those findings. The court did not discuss what was corroborated and what was not corroborated. It never made those findings, and this court as an appellate court cannot make those findings now. The other thing that was said by my opponent is that it was an abuse of discretion standard. I disagree. The application of 5G1.3b is under a de novo standard, and I'd request that the court use that standard. That's under United States versus Lyons. If the court has no questions, I'll submit. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. We appreciate counsel's arguments, and Benavides will be submitted at this time. Our next